I got a resi at Red Lobster. We've got a booth in the back behind a plant, so no one can see how much we're all you can eating.
No love, trash talk!
For 200 times we have done this. NOLA Trash Talk, episode 200.
I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy.
We are once again on a Sunday schedule, recording in Mid-City, New Orleans. July 8th, 2018. It's 1,000 degrees outside. It's still Essence Festival weekend. And what good faith we should have to that our 200th episode so should fall on White Flight weekend.
Oh, yeah.
White Flight Weekend. I feel like a dance song needs to, like, roll with that. White Flight Weekend.
Yeah, it's weird because I think people just like leaving during the summer, and the 4th of July is a good time to. It just happens to be around Essence Fest, so it looks bad.
Yeah, but there's also regular, just plain old, good old Black Fear and White Flight.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, absolutely. I grew up with White Flight. I mention this all the time. In Baltimore, all I was told growing up was, this used to be a nice place, but then they extended the bus stop one more.
Oh, wow.
That was the narrative I heard. And compared to New Orleans, would you say that northern cities are more racist than southern cities?
No, we're all the same. Some people are just more blatant with it than others.
I was thinking, we had this conversation yesterday talking about the White Flight. We really should have one of our Black friends on episodes when we do this.
Oh, absolutely, we should.
We'll just be ignorant children until then.
Who would be good to have? Shell Bell?
I don't know. I like anyone. You just get someone off the street.
Yeah.
Give them their perspective. Because we were talking about comparing racist southern cities versus northern cities, and whoever I was talking to was saying northern cities are actually far more racist.
They are, but they're just in a different way.
Right.
I think down here we're still like segregational racist, and like, but we're very open with it.
It's Confederate flags on pickup trucks.
Right. We're not trying to hide it. Up north, they specifically
passive aggressive versus
just out in the open.
Yeah.
Right. So up north they'll say, oh, well, your school district is here, and they really cut those school districts to where you can't do any of, like, this charter school nonsense. They'll do that. And they'll also say, like, we need to speak for the Black community because this is what they need. And it's just kind of like that arrogant racism where you're speaking for somebody else that you know. Or, you know, it's just you don't know anything about what you're talking about.
Yeah, the school zone's getting cut up is definitely. But what I've noticed.
Or what were some examples? I mean, somebody has told me about this and it makes total sense.
Well, no, what I noticed with the actual White Flight in the 60s in Baltimore, what I heard growing up constantly was this all used to be a nice neighborhood. And what happened there, though, is no one ever moved back into Baltimore downtown in the 90s or 2000s to gentrify those row homes.
Right.
I'm talking about the areas, maybe for people who are unfamiliar, saw all those riots in Baltimore 2 years ago where they burned down their own pharmacy.
Yeah.
Nobody went back and reinvested. Everyone packed up their money and to the suburbs they went.
Why would you?
Well, no, because I compare it to New Orleans. People do go back into Central City now and buy a property and open restaurants. And
but it took long. That took a long time.
I know, but I've seen a concerted effort. There's none of that happening in somewhere like Baltimore, which I consider an East Coast Detroit.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a Rust Belt city that has the luxury of just being on the interstate between New York and D.C.
Every time I would drive through there, I'd be like, ugh, look at this. They have an airport and that's it.
No, there's that joke. What was that meme that went around that... It was a song about Cleveland, how much Cleveland sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this train is carrying jobs out of Cleveland.
Right.
And it would end with, we're not Detroit.
Oh yeah, that was that was a YouTube video. Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah.
I think that all of that stuff could apply to Baltimore, but people don't put it in that same Cleveland-Detroit thing because it's not on the Rust Belt, but it really is just this forgotten place. Anyway, the racism there with the white flight, with just all the white people running away to the country, getting out of downtown, leaving downtown as a complete dilapidated.
Right.
Like, the Inner Harbor's nice, and you go see a baseball game. One of my coworkers is visiting right there, actually, and it's like, have fun. You're going to go have crabs, watch an Orioles game, and get back on the plane.
Yeah, try not to get shot.
So, White Flight in New Orleans, this Essence Fest was like the World War III of Essence Fest this year, because I'm hearing maybe that movie Girls Trip they did, where a movie about these chicks, they all go to Essence Fest for a wild weekend.
Oh, okay.
That somehow influenced the tripling of people in. Like 350,000 people descended upon the CBD.
Oh, and wow.
I have not seen a traffic situation in all the Mardi Gras I've ever seen.
Like this?
It was you white flighted all the way to El Paso, Texas, Stephen.
I did.
Stephen left town. He went, what's that?
That's west.
Like 1,200 miles away?
Yes.
Because when you're in Houston, it's 800 miles. You did not see what happened Friday in the downtown with traffic.
Like after work, you were bogged down a little bit.
It took from where I live by Audubon Park to get to the CBD, to my parking garage, to go, ironically, to do traffic reports on a radio station. It took an hour and a half.
Oh, God.
Now, I left at 3 p.m. One of the on-air hosts, one of the sports hosts, he's coming from uptown, too, to get to the same garage. He left at 4 p.m. They were calling in and checking up on him. Where are you? How far did you get?
Oh, this is going to work.
Going into the CBD. Okay. Nowhere near.
Oh, you had Friday night work.
Yeah. Okay. Friday afternoon.
Right. Okay.
Nowhere near with the Dome or, you know, the convention center.
Yeah, way on open. Right by the
just
river.
Just in the CBD.
Okay.
Dead center of the CBD. It took him usual commute time of 12 minutes uptown to downtown. That's what he said. 2 hours and 36 minutes to get into the parking garage.
Wow.
That Mardi Gras does not compare to what was happening. Poydras was
parking lot, yeah.
Because one car would go into the intersection and the light would change and they would just be in the middle of the intersection blocking the next car. And there was no police at any intersections to prevent that from happening.
Oh my gosh.
So you have no conception of, and it continued.
How
it continued all weekend. I was down there yesterday morning again for work and I left at noon. And it still took 30 minutes to go from the parking garage to I-10.
If we went downtown right now, do you think it'd still be a circus?
As of us recording right now, Essence Fest is still happening.
Wow.
I don't know.
So there was normally like 120.
I know. I thought it was just going to be Friday. Everyone's getting into town, checking into hotels. Saturday, this all should alleviate.
Right.
A half hour to get from Poydras to I-10 yesterday at noon.
Jesus. So there's
events at the convention center,
right?
And then Essence is obviously at the Superdome.
Well, there's normally how many people come for Essence? 150,000?
I think it's always been in that 300,000 zone, but I have never seen it like this. I've never seen any festival in New Orleans create this kind of
congestion.
I'm trying to think of it. It just shows you literally how many people it would take to shut down the CBD.
Oh, wow.
Because the CBD is small.
So small.
Compared to any other city. It's like what? Like 12 square blocks of like what principal, you know, businesses, not counting the quarter and the warehouses or whatever.
Yeah, so, but I think Mardi Gras, because, you know, everything is like scheduled out and you know where this is closed and that is closed and yada, yada, yada. But for this,
I've sat in some traffic jams at Mardi Gras for them moving floats.
It's just mayhem.
This is different. This was absolute chaos. I got to imagine that there were probably taxis and Ubers doing half of the choking.
That's right, because they bring all the, like, for these festivals, like, people will come from other parts of the country just to Uber.
There's no way to go anywhere. It was moving one car length every 3 minutes.
Wow. This all makes sense now, because when I got in last night late, I couldn't get an Uber from the airport.
Now, I'm keeping this separate from anything racially related to Essence Festival.
Oh, well, you know.
This is just sheer human mass of and then everyone just walking through traffic, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Just and people sightseeing as they drive around, which is another problem in downtown New Orleans. And
is it does it remind you of Bill Burr's bit at all? Just a bunch of in the way motherfuckers just looking up at the sky.
Well, I understand people are here for the festival. Right. I get it. I will never go to Essence Festival because I don't think Iron Maiden will ever play Essence Festival. So, like, there's no reason for me to ever go.
But a fucking Judas Priest or something.
I'm sure it's a great time. looking at the lineup, I don't know how that would translate into 350,000 people. Because what, the Dome can't hold that many people.
Right.
I know Essence Fest has other events too.
Where do they have?
I don't know where 350,000 people go downtown. If you put 70 in the Dome, what, like 30 at the convention center?
They gotta do more to get.
How many
center.
People can choke the quarter?
50, 60.
Yeah, we're still not close to 350,000 people.
I mean, it happens there in Mardi Gras.
I don't know how they get that number. They put it out in the news like this drew this many people into the city, so that we made lots of money. Thumbs up, everyone. It's like, how did you? They can't quantify how much money the film industry makes for the city.
Right.
So, but they can easily point out, well, 350.
I wonder if they just look at the hotel occupancy, you know? I mean.
But that's still nowhere close to the accurate.
Right.
People staying with family.
Sure.
Airbnb, they don't have to turn over any.
Well, I know that the New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Corporation, whatever it is, the one. Whoever the head of that is, his name is Mark something. The Saints announcer. What's his name? I'm sorry. I'm going blank here. Who's the Saints announcer? First down, Saints. Mark, whatever. Anyway, he's the head of the New Orleans Tourism and Marketing Commission. And he, when he makes these speeches, was always talking about these apps that they're like trying to give the tourists to like check in and like stuff to do and da 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 da. And I'm wondering if they're like
that's just the magazine at the tourism
right
place. The little the things they give you for free on the counter. Yeah, you don't need that. You don't need an app to do that.
I know you don't.
Just Google things to do in New Orleans. I know you don't completely need it, clueless.
But they were like really working on this app and like they like especially for like Mardi Gras because like people don't know about the parade tracker. People don't know about this and that. So they made a special one for that. But
Now we got the streetcar one, right?
Oh yeah,
theoretically,
yeah, no. So
no point in tracking something that's going to be 4 miles away from you all day long.
Yeah, they tried that. We talked about that last time, right?
Yeah.
That was
No, I'm just like you really have to imagine the scenario. I went outside to leave work at 6:30. I was thinking I can't leave. I'm trapped. Like, am I sleeping here tonight? Like, there's nowhere to go. And I was hearing horror stories of taking an hour to get out of the garage.
Oh, God.
Dude, you got to imagine, like, parking garage post-Saints game times, like, 4,000. Right.
Sorry, Mark Romig is who I was thinking
of.
Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds... No, I walked outside. I scoped the situation. Like, my garage was clear at 6:30, like, 7-ish. I was like, all right, I got to go for it. Because I know once I get out of the CB, I'm fine.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I just got to go, like, those 6 blocks.
So, like, CHOP, like, Rabbi Lucy's must have been a parking lot.
It was everything up to the expressway.
Wow.
Because everyone was, like, pretty much making a loop, including the taxis.
Right.
They were getting to no one was leaving on the highway.
Just constant.
They were going to the convention center, or rotating, or they don't know where they're going.
Right.
Or they're looking for parking. So it was just congested loop of people in the CBD. I'm doing hand motions on the podcast. And then more people coming in.
You know, that's interesting because somebody like me, if I was driving a cab, would know that...
You would have lost your mind. I was trying to play the happiest music. I was going as zen as possible because I was late for work. My calculated commute time, I give myself 30 minutes to get to work.
Right.
40 minutes. It wasn't like, oh, Josh, it's your fault. You left late. I gave myself an hour, not thinking the Essence Fest traffic was going to be bad and thinking, oh, it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had to keep calling in, and people had to keep covering me.
Oh, wow.
So I was just, like, hands tied. Like, I don't know what to – it was like I'm a –
So what time are you supposed to be at work?
My first reports go on at, like, 3:50.
And
I left the house at 3 p.m.
So – and you got to work at 4:30.
Yeah.
Jesus.
There was nothing – I was sitting just like, well, I'm 4 blocks from work.
Wow.
I'm on the phone. I'm 4 blocks away, but I move one car length – every 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So yeah, that is kind of frustrating.
And it definitely wasn't like, well, you should have known better. It was Essence Fest because this was World War III. This was way beyond.
You would have had
I've worked
to leave,
in the French Quarter for right. Essence Fest before.
You would have had to leave at 2 just to maybe get... It might have been worse
and
at
how,
2.
And how would you have known that?
No, but I'm saying you don't even know how bad it
was.
Have been
there was
earlier.
No police. The city didn't know.
Jesus.
They had cops like at the Superdome
right.
and by I-10. Well, they didn't have anyone at like those major intersections on Poydras. You know how like during big events like this, people just go cruising, you know, with their crazy ass car, souped up, you know,
yeah,
on
yeah.
rims. You go on canal and just
clean
you know,
on the
they,
inside.
They just want to drive back and forth. I think a lot of people wanted were heading out to do that on Friday afternoon. So all you have got your Ubers and your taxis. Everyone trying to get in town to check into a hotel. People just wandering around like chickens with their heads cut off. Like where do we go? Walking through traffic. And then you got all your cruisers out there too.
I saw one of the coolest ones for Essence. I'll never forget because I got engaged July 3rd of 20.
I hope the concert was worth it.
14, and I saw one of the guys in the cruisers, and it was this badass car. I don't know what kind of car it was, but it had the Hershey's cookies and cream. Like that's what the whole car was. And he kept playing "Clean on the Inside, Cream on the Outside." It was a great. I loved it. And he just posted up on Canal. And he had the butterfly doors. Of course, you have to have the butterfly doors.
You know what
doors.
I miss? The old Canal Street. We don't have this anymore because no one buys CDs. But all the rappers selling
oh
their CDs out of the backs of their cars that
oh
were all
my God.
That were full decaled.
They're still doing that in New York, and it is they get these tourists
oh, I'm glad.
Every single time. It's like, oh yeah, you want a free CD, man? Yeah, yeah. What you gonna make this out to? Oh yeah, yeah. That'd be $20. Oh, I thought it was free. No. I put my name on there. I put it in it. I'm like. It's horrible.
I miss it. I mean, I would never take any of those CDs, but I miss the cars. All the would be full artwork would be wallpapered across the car for like the album cover art.
Oh my gosh!
The glory days when there was only 150,000 people at Essence. So, my meter for like what to deal with now for New Orleans traffic and future Mardi Gras has. Now I can tolerate
right,
sitting
yeah,
behind
your tolerance is way higher
now. When they're moving floats in front of me and I have to not move for 20 minutes or getting stuck behind the train on River Road.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's – yeah, when you have somewhere to go that's important like work and something that is out completely out of your control happens, you get about 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, you just start losing
But you can't
your
lose
mind.
It. You just surrender.
Right.
It's over. You can't get mad. That's what I had to keep like – processing like you can't get mad. This is out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it. So I was very zen, but I could see someone like you or your brothers would be out of your mind.
I mean, it depends where I was going. If you're going to work and you know I can't do anything about it, look, work, you gotta understand. If I was going,
what if your wife was going into labor?
Yeah, that would be infuriating. I'd actually would just get up on the sidewalk and start making a commotion.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about because I guess the worst traffic I've seen down there, non Mardi Gras, would be like after Saints game traffic, and still that's
okay.
Nothing.
So you know how Loyola is parked, Saints game traffic, where
right.
the Saints, all the people pour out
mm-hmm.
onto Loyola,
right?
And as everyone's walking back to their garages,
right?
Imagine that. What that traffic where, there's cops there at least mm-hmm. stopping the cars,
right.
Right in front of the Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that everywhere.
Times 3.
And nothing moves.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's
we could hear the honking from Poydras from our soundproof studios. 8 floors up.
Oh, wow.
It was going to turn into Mad Max out there. There was no end in sight.
I wonder why they didn't prepare for this.
So White Flight Weekend actually... Not so much like, oh, we scared of black people, or we're going to shut down our businesses because they don't tip. We're going to do the ceremonial throwing the glass through the window at the restaurant so we can close for maintenance for 3 days.
Well, I mean, it's
but
funny.
I didn't see anyone post any photos of close for maintenance today. No viral. No.
I know the only one that I know that does this is Ernst Cafe. They autograt every check. Yep.
Oh, well.
They autograt every check this weekend.
Do they even notice, though, when people pay their bills?
I don't. They post a sign that says, we're autograting everything, 18%.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And I think it's because they have like their workers and stuff are like, we're just flat out.
That's really bad from the bar with the swastikas on the tile.
Oh, I know. That's what makes it even funnier. Don't you understand? Don't you know that that's what makes it funnier? But they
yes,
can't.
Yes, you will pay.
They,
you will leave.
I remember talking to somebody that worked there, and they said, one July 4th, everyone refused to work there. So, like, can you imagine owning that establishment and you have, let's say, 12 employees, everyone said we're not working? What do?
You close.
You can't close because you have to. So the employees were like,
oh, you know what you do? You hire illegals.
There you go. Or that. but they demanded that there be an autograt policy for Body Classic and for Essence. Now, I don't know how you interpret that for whatever you may think or whatever, but I recall when we were swimming the day after I got engaged, we were swimming in somebody's pool in the CBD, and I went to Ernst to get a drink, and it was posted right there, and I took a picture of it, and I'll never forget thinking, oh my gosh, who of this Essence crowd would actually be here knowing that the businesses are like, we just don't trust your second line ability?
That's, yeah. Oh my God.
Like, that's.
But what I mean is, like, our White Flight weekend 2018 might just be White Flight to avoid the horrendous traffic.
Not
because I've gone downtown on Essence Fest weekend. I've gone to the quarter.
Right. It's no problems at all. Yeah. No problems with Essence
this
Fest.
This was the practicality of it just.
Yeah, no.
Off the table this year.
That has nothing to do with it. I think if you're going to be in the sweltering heat when you have that day off in the middle of the week, why not just go somewhere else and enjoy yourself, like the beach or wherever up north? I mean,
El Paso, Texas, Stephen.
Jesus, El Paso. Well, I brought the rain over there, man. It hadn't rained in 6 months, and I brought that rain, player.
And you got there.
Oh yeah, it cooled down. What, like? I found out the hard way that El Paso, especially where my buddy lives, is elevated. You're in the mountains.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. I was trying to go for a jog. Excuse me, go for a run,
oh,
whatever.
I see where this is going.
I was so out of breath. I came back in the apartment like, I forgot what that was like. The last time I remembered when I went running in Denver, and that's obviously 10 times worse. I don't know how NFL players go into Denver and play.
That's a good point.
I know that you're like, oh, Steve, they're professional athletes, blah, blah. Okay, they're professional athletes because they train a certain way in a certain weather condition. When you go to Denver, there's no part of you that trained for thin air.
Notice how we're going to get on the sports tangent, but notice how after three losing seasons with the Saints, the first year back where they trained in Metairie in August, they were better.
Oh, instead of going to like
West
Virginia and some like resort?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Just exactly.
Right off the bat?
No, you guys are going to sweat it out in the heat and go to work and stay focused.
I always thought we were at a massive disadvantage because our home field is this giant air-conditioned cooler. Like, yeah, this is where we played. So other teams must come to New Orleans like, oh, you got to play in the dome. It's like, this is the most comfortable place
right,
to play
it really
football.
Is. Other than the noise.
It's like playing tackle football in like someone's air-conditioned carpeted basement. Right.
It's like, other than the noise, it is the easiest place to play.
Yeah, you're coming in town from Denver or Boston.
Right, oh gosh.
Come playing at the air-conditioned, climate-controlled.
Easy, like Green Bay is like, oh, whatever. So, yeah, but I was just thinking about that when I was in El Paso, just dying, just sucking in air as I did a track workout with I did a track workout with a CrossFit expert, a really in shape guy, and the female, a female JAG in the Army who set the record for the female Army PT time. And I was sucking wind.
Steve goes on weird vacations.
I know. It was weird.
He does this. Like, my vacations are just like, you know, a margarita bath.
We were supposed to go see this minor league team, the Chalupas or whatever they are. I don't know. No, I'm serious. It's either the Chimichangas, the Chalupas, or the, I can't remember what it is. But we couldn't get tickets because it was sold out. They have a brand new stadium. It's beautiful. And it was sold out. But the day I got there, it was 104 degrees. So I think we lucked out by not going to bake in 104 degree weather, which is fine. We were also supposed to get ATVs and go ATV riding in this tour in the desert, which would have been...
This sounds a little bit more traditional.
That would have been awesome. These motherfuckers call up my buddy the day before we're supposed to go and say, hey, look, we canceled all the trips for the next 2 days because we don't have enough people to support going out there. Are you serious? And they just refunded his money.
I'm glad you had a wonderful time in Texas.
No, I did. But, like, other than that, I was, you know, so what did we do? Well, we just did what, just worked out and ate. I went to a barbecue. I went to two barbecues. They were very interesting. It's just all Army people and officers and their wives and da-da-da. And everybody is like.
Did you ask anyone about aliens?
No, I did not.
Nah.
But everybody's like. They're all transplants, so, you know,
right.
and they're in it for the same deal. I'm just doing my 4 years and getting out of here. And it was hard to kind of get in the conversation because I really don't know anybody, and I can't relate to them on any level at all.
Just pour some vodka soda on it.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's
social butterfly Steve
what happened. Yeah, yeah. Three quarters of a bottle later, I was fine.
Yeah, my phone's full of new numbers.
Yeah, I was playing cornhole, and they hated me because I was shooting overhand like a basketball instead of underhand.
Oh no!
Oh yes, and they kept looking at me weird, but I kept draining them because I'm a basketball player.
I don't think you're allowed to throw it that way.
You can, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
I only know this because through the slow sports month of July, professional cornhole.
Oh, it was on TV.
It was on ESPN. And I just, my slack jawed staring at it at the gym, like, I can't believe this.
I can't believe this is a thing. I know.
Well, not only is it a thing that, like, there's people who are good enough to work their way up into a league.
To a professional league that is on ESPN.
It's like, where do they come from?
I don't know.
It's got to go straight from playing it in your buddy's backyard to pro.
Right.
There's no intermediate cornhole league.
Yeah, so they didn't like that at first, but it was just Drano after that. But anyway, it was a good time in El Paso.
So speaking of food, well, you're out there in El Paso, and Joshua's suffering here in New Orleans.
Oof.
I did a little lifestyle switch up this week. I got some divine inspiration.
Okay.
And I haven't told you about it
from
yet.
From a spaghetti monster that you don't believe in.
No. from another podcast.
So okay.
I switched up the diet, so I'm about a week in now of this brand new carnivore diet.
Right.
Only beef.
Wow.
Beef and water. That's
it. How the hell could that be?
I'm a week in.
How could that be healthy?
I did enough research about it. I heard enough positive reviews.
It's red meat? You just all red meat?
All red meat.
Wow.
And I have added beef liver into there, but only beef.
Dude,
no fruits, no vegetables.
You're not doing like a fiber supplement?
No fiber supplement.
Oh my god,
I'm a week in.
Dude, your shits must be horrendous.
Crystals. I'm kidding. It was all of divine inspiration off of a Joe Rogan podcast, hearing about it. So I did my own research. There's a lot of like mixed messages about when you try
obviously
to look about like what a healthy diet is.
Sure,
because then there's like you read one article over here. It's like, well, red meat could probably cause cancer.
I know.
It's like, okay, well, you said probably. You don't know. And all the variables of all human beings.
Right.
Between different, I mean, other people have other stuff in their diets and genetics and all that. So that doesn't make sense. And then you go over to the vegans. Like, oh, vegan diets are great. Like, I got on the vegan diet, but then after 6 months, I had like these massive nutrition deficiencies.
Right.
So there's that thing. And then I did paleo and strict, like, no carbs, like, 5 years ago. Dropped a bunch of weight, but then your body adjusts.
Right.
You know? So I was trying to think of a new way to shock my system. Heard about only beef, and I always kind of avoided beef because I just assumed, oh, you would do the leaner chicken.
Sure.
That is like a main go-to.
Right.
So, yeah, about a week in here, feel fine.
I just don't understand.
You know what I've noticed, though?
But
right off the bat with this first weekend doing it, I'm still drinking, by the way, which could cancel the whole
thing. Probably could cancel everything.
No hangovers.
Really?
I've had... I don't know. I'm looking at it from a practical sense of like the caveman diet of, well, what if you were just in the, because like, you know, the Eskimos just live off meat.
Sure, but they're in a much different climate.
Right.
Obviously.
So I was just looking at it, it's like, what if I just only am just feasting on just bloody raw animal meat? It's like if that was like the base level, this is how humans were supposed to
sure
survive. I'm just gonna kind of going off that logic, even though this planet's full of fruits and vegetables and stuff. I just haven't done it before. I'm gonna do it.
What kind of beef are you doing? Like, you're not doing.
I'm doing a whole variety, and also beef is kind of expensive.
It is
compared
to. Are you doing like organic beef?
I've done like the grass fed stuff. Grass fed again, though, expensive.
That stuff is extremely expensive.
I'm just doing all different kind of cuts and whatnot. I'm trying to find like a happy variety, but I'm only doing no condiments though. It's just beef, salt, right. And cayenne pepper.
Well, if you have the inclination...
This would drive most people crazy.
Oh, it probably would. If you do have an inclination to go to Costco with me one day, I'll get you the three-pack.
Everyone's like, you got to get a Costco membership if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it only makes sense.
Well, the benefits I've heard about it, and once
you
again...
You don't have to get a membership, just come to me one day.
Yeah, the benefits I heard of is, like, you stop craving other things, which when you do no-carb, I know, you don't crave. Like, I love... cold pizza,
right?
Ultimate like comfort food.
Sure.
When you wake up in the morning, open the fridge, and there's the cold pizza.
Sure.
I noticed when I first did this that I didn't crave anything like that anymore. So, but I'm just trying to like the not just the cravings, but the hunger too.
Right.
I generally am not feeling hungry. I'm still eating just once a day.
Okay.
And I think like any naked.
Wait up! Have you foregone Superior Grill chips?
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
Oh God!
No cheat days on this. I wanna see for 1 month if I did this super strict. And keep in mind, I'm going out of town in 2 weeks too. I just want to see what happens.
Okay.
Like if I dropped weight, then what does that tell me?
I don't know.
If I dropped weight and then like maybe I'm like, well, shit, I'm gonna do this another month.
Right.
And then after a few months, if it's still working and I feel fine, well then I'm gonna go get a blood test.
Right.
And I'm gonna get the whole thing of like what's going on because. All this propaganda over here tells me that red meat's going to give me a heart attack and cause colon cancer and all this nonsense. And I already know that the food pyramid is horseshit because that's like, oh, eat bread. And
right.
It's like, okay, that works out for people.
I just wonder, though.
Obesity epidemic in America.
I just wonder, though, like, why wouldn't the all-beef diet recommend that you just take vitamins as well? Because to me, that would make sense because there's no vitamins in meat.
I do take vitamin C. But I just always right. do that.
I mean, like, if you were taking
no, that's wrong. That's wrong.
Or I should
beef
that's,
is like crazy dense with nutrients.
Right. That was a stupid statement. I shouldn't have said that. But like
and these vitamin C and other shit from liver too.
Right. The liver. That was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. But the specific like the vitamin D you need.
I'm in New Orleans doing this like psycho diet.
Right.
Where everybody else is like, oh, we can't wait to visit New Orleans and enjoy all the food. I just have my like little plain salted piece of meat.
Oh,
it's like, yeah, I love the food here. It's great.
How many pounds of it are you doing?
That's what I'm trying with the money. I'm trying to find a happy medium with. All right, what is my poundage of beef that I can eat and not be hungry,
right?
And not spend a fortune. So I'm trying to find like this sweet spot of like $12 a day.
Okay, so how many times?
Like, it's about like 2.5 that I'm cooking.
Okay, how many times are you eating a day?
I eat once a day.
Oh, just at night?
I always do that.
Just
yeah,
at night?
Yeah, for dinner, yeah. Well, I've been splicing it up, cooking it, like having a little bit midday, cooking the rest for dinner and putting that away.
Right.
So I'm kind of splitting up 2.5 pounds through the course of the day. But then, right. That's not the actual weight, that's with water before I cook it.
Sure.
So I couldn't tell you, but, definitely noticed the hangovers have been different.
That's so weird.
I woke up Friday. You know, Friday nights go crazy night
yeah.
for me. I get off work and I just go.
Right.
I woke up at 8 a.m. Saturday, fine.
Yeah.
That's why I went down to the CBD. I had to knock out some work. And I was like, well, I got to beat that Essence crowd. Everyone's still asleep. So I got out of the CBD by noon on that one. But no hangover, felt great. And then
today,
I mean, I got a little cold sweat going because I'm drinking... I just drank half a gallon of black coffee to do this. I don't know. It's fascinating. So if I'm dead, you know, in 2 weeks, the experiment didn't work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You might be not on the podcast in 2 weeks, so who knows? So I did read some of the articles that you posted this week, and I have some personal experience with the Sewage and Water Board right now. And I have some personal.
Do you owe them $413,000 like Xavier?
Gosh. That was one of the most.
But these are like funny made up numbers because the Sewage and Water Board hands everyone crazy bills.
Right.
So, of course, a university would get the craziest bill and they're like, yeah, we're not paying this.
Right. So, what do they do in that case? Because.
Well, they're supposed to open
the Sewage and Water Board could shut your water off.
Yeah, but they don't. It's one of those things. If they I don't think they have the manpower either to physically shut the water off or to investigate the claim.
Right. So I got,
because they have $3 million of unpaid dollars.
And
so how many claims is that where the customers have like filed a complaint, and it's something that has to be investigated and worked out. So all the while, those customers' water is not getting turned off.
Right. I recently got a $280 bill from them. Now, how does that happen?
Their system's broken.
I found out that...
Did you file a complaint?
I did.
Okay. Did they ever turn your water off?
No, they did not.
Okay.
But I think you have to do it. I think it's you have to have like consecutive months of that. They're not going to turn
You should play the game of see if your water ever gets turned off.
I want to play the game, Josh, but you know that my significant other would not like that I was
right.
playing games with her,
single
with her
Josh,
life.
Single Josh can play the game.
She would not enjoy that.
A man with wife can't play that game.
Yes, but I called them, and you know, I talked to some people who have dealt with this. You got to talk to like property managers or like local landlords that have to deal with these people. And one of my guys said, look, just file a complaint and force them to come out and read the meter. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what they do is, and this is, I don't know if this is true or not. This is just secondhand knowledge that someone who dealt with them a bunch told me. They look at neighborhoods and they look at the water usage in the neighborhoods and estimate sometimes and send you a bill based on that.
Wow. So, that sounds like a great way to get a wrong bill.
Oh, it sounds like an amazing way to get...
What if the Superdome was in your neighborhood?
I don't know. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But it makes sense that they would do something stupid like that. So I'm just thinking to myself, like, and then this is what happened. You know my professor, my old professor that does all the investigating?
Mm-hmm.
Going down. He just sent me an email. He's like, we're going in.
Well, aren't they on the verge of appointing, like, a new director?
Oh, yeah, all this BS. But... there has been some massive,
you know what I want, you know what,
discrepancies.
When LaToya gets out there and announces the new director of the Sewage and Water Board and introducing our new president of the Sewage and Water Board, that I better hear glass shatter.
Yeah, it better be Stone Cold.
My God,
Jesus,
he'll fix it.
Oh gosh, but yeah, it was just like that was like one of, and look, I'm not blaming the mayor for any of this. I mean, she's only been in office what, like 3 months.
No. Oh, and she's still fighting the good fight against the traffic cameras too.
Oh yes,
good on her.
I was very happy
even
to see.
Even if it's a no-win situation, I'm glad she's at least maintaining the rhetoric that she's against them and they're a money-making scam.
But as you read in the article,
right,
that there's no way around it. That if they get rid of them, they're getting rid of $25 million. Of revenue for doing absolutely nothing.
I know.
And the police need a $9 million raise for whatever, yada, yada, yada. So it's never going away. I was just wondering if they could maybe scale back on them. Like, you know, they have them in places where it's like, why do you have these here? Like the one on Henry Clay.
I'd be happy if they just got rid of the cars.
Or the cars. No.
Just get rid of the cars.
The cars.
Leave the ones that are mounted in school zones.
So we can see them and, you know, blah, blah. But the cars are not fair.
The cars are trickster shit. But, again, everything, like any job, they get in a lull. They get in their habits. They do the same things all the time.
Right.
So the game of hiding the cars around the city to catch people doesn't work if you always park the cars in the same places. You're only getting the clueless... You're only getting the Essence Fest tourist, unfamiliar with the city, who's
going
to get that bill in the mail and be like, well, I'm not going back to New Orleans.
Dude, how many red light camera tickets were taken on Porges for people just, that were just stuck in the like in the intersection?
Oh, that's a good question. But they would have to go up to a certain speed at least.
No, but like just being in a red light in the intersection and then moving, you know?
Oh, I hope
that
would be amazing.
Oh, gosh.
Or how everyone's stuck. Completely congested in the intersection, and a bird flies by the camera.
And the camera's just like, wow, 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 wow. Just nonstop taking him pictures. Yeah, we'll see how many people come back to Essence next year.
That would be funny. You just had like a broom and you just waved in front of the camera and it just kept taking photos of everyone sitting in traffic.
Dude, if I ever saw somebody doing that, I would laugh so hard. Like, look at this wrench over here, just trying to wrench everybody's day. Oh, gosh. So the other article you posted was how they're going to hire 50 people in one day?
Yeah, and my first thought was like, well, but the old people are training the new people, so it doesn't matter.
So we're back to square one with this.
The old people are just going to be like, all right, man, here's the first thing you want to learn about the sewage and waterboard. Here's all the brass fittings they don't use. It's like, and you can get $25 for these per pound.
It's just like Operation Screw the Public, and it's just like...
I want to believe it's out of malevolence, but I think it's just sheer ignorance and inefficiency. Like, they're screwing the public by accident.
And like,
I would like to think that there was an angry agenda purposely screwing over our water bills.
Well, you know that, and I've told you this story about how they came to one of my dad's...
It is raining really hard outside.
They came to one of my dad's rental properties, and they accused him of illegally making plumbing that put the sewage into like some other part of the street or some other, and obviously it wasn't him, it was the previous owner, but they didn't know about it, blah 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 blah. The sewage and water board made him pay 4G so they could fix it. And it's like, all right, well, guys, like, first of all, how did you know that, number one?
Right,
like, because you don't know anything about anything, you don't read
meters. Magically they have like
just magic. I don't know.
Most bills you get in the city are... Like when I get my cell phone bill, it's like, what exactly did $100 pay for with my magic cell phone? Yeah. Where does that money go?
And again, so the $280, right, Josh? So our bill was... This is how it went. It went like... Our bill is normally like $120, $130, $150 because trash. Trash is included in that,
right,
recycling.
Right.
All right, fine. But then it gradually started going up.
By the way, in downtown traffic, garbage trucks were in the middle of it.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Just
shit everywhere. So it gradually went up month, and I was like, we got to stop taking showers. I'm yelling at my wife. But finally, I was like, it can't be her because they said we use 100,000 gallons of water in a month. It's impossible.
I don't know, man. Knowing your wife.
No. Well, this month, because that was last month, and I hadn't paid it yet.
So yours this month is how much?
160. Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable.
But that's wrong, too.
That's probably wrong, too. But how do you go from spiking like that? Is it because I complained?
I think even if you complain, $160 is wrong.
I think so, too. I think the water bill should be around $80 and trash and recycling should be around $40. So it should be like $120 for the two of us a month. But $280. I'm telling you, man, and like we're that's the other thing. We're having a bunch of they're ripping up the streets in the neighborhood behind us.
Oh, even better.
So
even
exactly,
better.
It's like, of course you guys are doing this like random rounding, like, and your people could have hit
a
pipe.
You see, they're closing chunks of St. Charles too, like between Napoleon and Louisiana for more drainage repair.
Oh wow,
it doesn't end.
That's what I'm saying,
and
it's
of
like,
course they're doing that. When we have 350,000 people visiting the city.
And it's like when you're hiring these 50 people, it's like, who are you hiring? Are you? And the thing is, this is where administrations in the past have gone astray. They hire their friends, family, and they keep it really like, oh, this guy's a this guy, this guy's this guy. And these are the most incompetent people that have ever stepped foot in a real office.
Once again, though, man, if they were good at their jobs, they ain't going to be working for a city.
Right, I understand that. I just think that there should be a vetting process for hiring where
Josh, are you suggesting we privatize some of these businesses?
Yes.
To get better quality? No.
Or at least some kind of vetting. Not from a third party. Not necessarily like, oh, like we need to take over the whole hiring process of the sewage and water board. For this specific little event, there should be a third party company or a third party sewage and water board from another city that comes in and says, oh, this is what you need. This is the kind of person you need.
All you got to do is go to another town that does it right. See what they do. Copy that.
There you go.
That's it. It's easy.
That'd be
easy,
too
easy,
huh?
We should listen to a better podcast. Copy what they do. And do that. Well, this was episode 200 of Nola Trash Talk.
Congratulations, buddy.
200. 200 times we've done the same thing.
Two bills.
I've done the same thing. It's easy. Thanks for listening, folks. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McJeezy.
We'll see you next weekend.